You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, just kind of having a low-key afternoon. My kids are watching Swiss Family Robinson. What are you up to?
What a great, great film. I remember watching that when I was a kid. You know, we're good. It has been cold and rainy in North Carolina, but when I think about the weather that people in the Midwest and Southwest are having, just the winter blast, I'm grateful, but it has finally, it's a sunny day here, and we're so glad for that. But I imagine in perfect Orange County, it's just beautiful. Is that how that is?
It is. It's pretty lovely today, gotta tell you. So.
And y'all just had a trip to Joshua Tree.
Yeah, we did. So you know me, Dad, I still don't think to this day I've ever slept in a tent. I'm not exactly an outdoorsy person, but Adam is more so, and we got together with some friends, and I think we really want to do stuff like this with our kids, so it was a great kind of entry point. We did like kind of a day hike, and it was so fun. The kids were just like running all over the rocks, and the parents were kind of hanging out, kind of supervising so no one fell to their death, you know, back and forth. So it was really fun and really beautiful.
Oh, that's so good. Well, that's a part of California I've never seen that. In fact, the only thing I know about Joshua Tree is I think the band U2 had an album named Joshua Tree. So that's about as far as I go.
Yeah, you went to a concert, a U2 concert.
Oh, I did go to a U2 concert, and that was quite an evening.
That's awesome. Yeah, so. Well, I'm really looking forward to our topic for today. This is a new series. So this episode introduces a series called People, Books, and Passages That Have Shaped Your Life. So tell us more about it.
Well, you know, one of the key things about God that has been most meaningful to me is just His sovereignty and how He sovereignly crafts together the days of our lives and the years of our lives to affect His purposes. And so one of the ways we can think about that is just think about the people that He's put in our lives, the key books and scripture passages that He has sovereignly used through the years to shape us. Like this morning in my quiet time, I was reading Psalm 139. And I was just remembering as a senior at Wake Forest University, me and another guy named Andy decided to memorize Psalm 139. And that psalm has been just deeply meaningful and been kind of an anchor to me through the years. And so it's things like that, that it's good for us to reflect back on. You know, who are the people? What are the passages in the Bible? What are the books that He's used to shape me, and how did He do that? It's good for our own, you know, our edification, like our building up, our growth, but it's also good for us to share with others so that they can kind of learn some of the lessons we've learned or be pointed to some of the resources to which we've been pointed. And you know, none of the people and none of the books are perfect, and my understanding of Scripture will never be fully perfect in this life. So it's not about perfect, but it's just about some tools that God has used, some people that God has used to shape me. So that's what we'll be talking about in a series of these. We'll do these every so often, and we'll look at a different person, book, or passage that has shaped me.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it. One, because I'm sure I'm going to get some good recommendations of books and passages. And also, I feel like it's cool, like, yeah, even though you're my dad, some of this kind of stuff just doesn't happen to come up. So I'm really looking forward to kind of learning more about, I don't know, how you have been shaped. So, and today you chose a really interesting person for our episode. So tell us who.
Well, we're going to be talking about my father. I am John Landrum Hawkins, Jr. And so my dad was John Landrum Hawkins Sr., and he died when I was 23 of colon cancer. So I was a very young adult when he passed away. But we'll be talking some about how God used him to shape me and about the man that he was.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I obviously never met, I know you know this, I've never met Granddaddy John, but I know from some of what you've told me that he wasn't, I mean, none of us are perfect, but he wasn't at all a perfect man, and that your relationship with him was really hard. So I'm curious to kind of hear where you're going with this. Tell us more about what he was like and what your relationship with him was like.
Yeah, well, my dad was, in a lot of ways, a remarkable man. He was, I would say, a certifiable genius. He was just brilliantly minded. He was a very successful businessman, somewhat of a serial entrepreneur before there were serial entrepreneurs. And then, you know, on the weekends, he and my uncle would invent things. And so whenever you buy a pack of shoelaces and they're folded together and have a wrapper that goes around them, my uncle and my dad invented the first machine that packaged shoelaces that way.
So,
and that was just something he did, you know, kind of on the side. So he was a very smart man. He grew up in a little town in western North Carolina, Shelby, North Carolina. My grandparents were very respected people in the community there, though they were very modest people. I don't think either of them graduated from college. My dad was a only child, but he grew up there and then went to North Carolina State University for a degree in textile engineering and then lived the rest of his life in Shelby. So he never left Shelby very much. But he was a hard man. I don't know that he really knew how to love people. It was really interesting to see that, both in our family, but then even in friendships with others. He just had a really hard time conveying love to people. He was very successful, and we were very involved in the local Baptist church. He was a Sunday school teacher there for a long time. He was at one point the chairman of the board of deacons at our church. But the man he was at home was very different than that in a lot of ways. And
yeah,
I think with my mom and with my siblings, it was a hard family to grow up in. It was never physically abusive. But it was just a place that was hard to make sense of, both as we were growing up, and honestly, I'm almost 67 now. He died when I was 23. And there are things about him and about my relationship with him that I'm still trying to come to some understanding about.
Yeah.
So that's a picture of who he was. He died again when I was 23, when he was 50, of colon cancer. And watching the last months of his life were really pretty sad, because I think at that point he began to realize that he had chased after a lot of things that at that point were not very meaningful to him.
Gosh, that's so sad.
And he began to see a lot of things that were meaningful then that were really impossible for him to grab hold of. But I chose him for the first person in this series because a dear friend and mentor of mine, Harold Bullock, he told me one time that he felt that you never outgrow the influence of your father on your life for good or for bad.
Wow.
And I think that's really true. I think that for whatever reasons, God has made the mark of fathers upon their kids a somewhat indelible thing, and not in any way to minimize the impact and influence of mothers, but
yeah.
I think especially true with fathers. So I thought if we're going to talk about people God's used to shape me, then we should start with my dad.
And so can you just quickly tell us a little, like, what does that mean? Like, that you never outgrow the indelible mark of your father or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I won't speak for Harold. I can't say exactly what he meant, but I think that a lot of our understanding of who we are, of what our value is, of maybe sometimes our identity, is marked by some of the things that our dads either taught us and communicated to us, or didn't teach us and didn't communicate to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that with my dad, I just ongoingly always got the message that I just never measured up. I was just not good enough. The only way I could really measure up is if I was just like him, and I was nothing like him and didn't want to be anything like him.
Yeah.
And really would have been horrible at being like him.
Yeah.
But I think with my dad, it was pretty much his way or the highway, and what you should be like was like him.
Yeah.
And Dad,
please go ahead. Go ahead.
And then I think he and I were just kind of a perfect storm. You know, like, I don't think he was a malevolent man.
Mm-hmm.
But I was this kid who was probably a pretty needy kid, and especially needing his affection, needing him to value me and prioritize me and convey his desire to be in relationship with me.
Yeah.
And so when that doesn't happen, that does leave a mark.
Yeah.
And different men deal with our daughters, different women deal with that different ways. For some, it can be kind of defeating and almost like, you know, wounding you, you know, in a crippling way. With others, it can bring out the fight and just kind of the idea of, well, I'm going to prove him wrong.
Uh-huh.
But I think the mark of fathers on their kids is an indelible kind of mark. And I will say, and whether it was a great mark or a not so great mark or kind of an in-between mark, the Lord masterfully and sovereignly uses it to affect his purposes in us.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and so I guess based on like everything you're saying, I'm wondering, like, how do you see that God used your dad to shape you as a man or husband or father, you know, like in kind of the most important roles? How have you been shaped? Or even, I mean, I guess not even just roles. How has your dad shaped who you became?
Yeah. Well, it might be interesting for us to talk, you know, about how did he become how he was?
Yeah.
Like, I've thought a lot about that in terms of, you know, my grandmother, his mother, was one of the most loving people I've ever known in my life. In fact, so much of what I know about love in a, like, human relationship kind of way, in a Christian way, I learned from how my grandmother modeled it. And my grandfather was a very hardworking man, kind of a man of few words, but I always enjoyed being around him, and he always seemed to enjoy being with me. And so many times I looked at my dad and I just thought, you don't remind me of either of your parents. You know, in fact, I think my grandmother kind of drove him crazy because she was so affectionate and so desirous of conveying that, and he just had no place or no category for that. And then my grandfather You know, he was a fairly simple man. He was a farmer for much of his life, and then worked in a business that my dad helped start. But he was not a man of great accomplishment in the world's perspective. And my dad was just so driven towards accomplishment. So, like with my grandmother, all the affection and love of her, he didn't seem to really... That didn't flow through. And with my grandfather, he was just a simple man. And my dad was just so off the chart ambitious. And so I've wondered, how did he become the way he was? Was it somehow out of reaction to him that maybe he didn't grow up in as nice a neighborhood or with as much stuff as other people had, and in a small town like he grew up in, he spent his whole life proving that he could make it big time. I don't know what drove him. Yeah. And so, you know, it's been interesting for me to think about what shaped him, but honestly, I can't put my finger on it, because his parents had some really great strengths and they didn't really convey into his life. But, you know, to your question about how did God use him to shape me, well, it was through a lot of pain. You know, it was through, I ended up being this, you know, 12 or 13 year old kid who hated my father. Mm-hmm. And it was all because I wanted so much to be loved by my father, and I wasn't. And so I just decided I should hate him. And yet, in a lot of ways, I was beginning to become a lot like him. And so at 16 years old, I end up at a Christian youth camp, and I felt like my life was just a disaster.
Because could you tell you were becoming like your dad, or is that more in retrospect?
Yeah, there was just this whole kind of secret life inside of me that no one knew about, but really mimicked a lot of my dad's sins and failures.
Yeah.
And so in terms of how did God use my dad to shape me, I think the biggest way was by causing me to see my need for Jesus. And I looked at the brokenness in my relationship with Dad and how much I longed for it to be different. It wasn't. I looked at the mess I was making of my own life.
Yeah.
Kind of in reaction to my dad. And I went to this camp, and God told me that he loved me and wanted me and wanted to use me to serve his purposes. And I couldn't believe any of that could be true. And yet... He proved to me that it was. So I think one way God used my dad was, it was through the pain of that relationship that I came to Christ. But I think another thing is that same week that I, by God's grace, became a Christian, I felt like God said to me, I want you to learn how to forgive your father, even if he never changes. And I was like, wow, I don't have the first idea as to how, even what that means, much less how I would do it.
Yeah.
But God, if you'll give me grace, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And so I came to faith when I was 16. As I said before, my dad died when I was 23. It took pretty much all 7 years to forgive my dad, because it was like peeling an onion. And it's like I kept thinking that I'd forgiven him, and then all this other stuff would well up, and he didn't really change. And yet finally, you know, really before he passed away, I really was free of the hurt from him and really had in my heart forgiven him, though he never changed and he never asked my forgiveness.
So and, do you feel like before he died, was there any sort of like, I know he didn't ask for forgiveness, but what was there peace between you, do you feel like?
Well, there was peace from me to him.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly never had any idea how he felt towards me.
That's so hard, Dan.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't necessarily that he always felt bad towards me.
Yeah.
it's just like I never knew what he felt towards me.
Yeah.
And you know, in his very last couple of days, he was, you know, at home completely bedridden, and I would have to help him, like help him with bathing and help him with even toileting. And
yeah.
And it was kind of an amazing picture of this weakened man who had wasted so much of his life, and a son who now was free to love him and care for him and mainly just feel really sorry for him.
Hmm.
And sorry for the many ways he had wasted a lot of the precious things in his life. Hmm. So again, back to how God shaped me through him, it was learning that kind of forgiveness. You know, learning, you know, 16-year-old guys tend to not know how they feel about things. And if they ever do kind of run into how they feel about things, knowing what to do with them is a whole nother thing. And so for a 16-year-old guy to go through a path of learning to forgive a man who he wants to deeply be loved by, but he's not, and yet he needs to learn to forgive him, that was like a lifelong lesson.
Hmm.
And that lesson God has used in different ways in my life through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the last thing I'll mention,
because
our time's moving on, is just that you cannot live your life, a lesson I learned from this is you cannot live your life reacting to things in your past. Hmm. Because if you live your life reacting to things, more often than not, you become just like them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain that in terms of like step by step.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in so many other people's lives, that if I've been hurt, or if I'm angry, or if I'm just like hyper-competitive, where I'm just trying to react to something and prove something wrong, or, you know, I'll never be like my father. He was wrong. I'll never be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we don't realize is before we know it, we're becoming just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only the grace of God that can come to us when we've been hurt in a relationship and help us to know how to rightly move through it and come to forgiveness and come to kind of personal healthiness in a good way. And so that was a good way that God shaped me or gave me a lesson from my dad. And you know, I don't hate my father. I don't think back on him with animosity or with any ill feeling. When I think about the relationship, I am sad about it, and I do grieve that he so wasted so many of the opportunities with people that he had, and he was completely, I think, blind to it all.
Yeah. Well, and like as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, that Andy Gullihorn song, like, I wish you had a dad like mine, but it's basically him talking to his dad and saying, I wish you, kind of gets me choked up, but like, I wish you had a dad like mine. And he's like, so Andy is talking to his dad about what a great dad he has, that man, you know, and wishing that his father's experience had been more like that. Because I think my experience with you as my father has been completely different than what you're describing with your dad. And it's interesting, like what you were just saying was really interesting to me, because I guess at some points I've wondered if maybe it was kind of like the dad you had kind of put the fear of God, like, you know, like that you just like, you were like, I don't want that, you know, but it sounds like what you're saying is, I mean, in a way, fear is still a reaction. So it sounds like what you're saying, I mean, maybe it was a good sobering thing of, like, I've got to be really intentional, but that more than that, it was just the grace of God and like the mercy of God in your own life that kind of gave you the ability to not move past, like Harold yeah. said, but kind of transcend some of that pain or reaction. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. And you know, this is really, really embarrassing for me to say this, but you know, when you guys were little, you and your two brothers, and I would tuck you in at night, there would be times when I would walk out of your room and I would feel jealous of you. And I always felt just like, John, that's ridiculous. You're a grown man. But I just felt like I wish I had had a father who would do what I had just done for you. And that's not, I didn't mean it in any way like exalting myself. It was more just, but then that would lead me to just worship God and just say, God, thank you. You know, that you have made me or are making me different. And thank you that my kids won't ever know that. And so I would have a tinge of jealousy, but then it would just lead to worship. You know, that God had broken that cycle and that the way that you guys were brought up was much different. Only by the grace of God, because I saw early on I could easily become my father and way worse if it was left to myself. So this wasn't like, how could any man ever be like my father? I could get there quickly, left to myself. And I just saw I need the grace of God to in any way be different than my father was.
Well, and like as you're talking, Dad, like I feel like I'm having all the feelings because it's like on the one hand, what you're saying is like really encouraging and really hopeful of just like the power of God to transform and like, you know, just yeah, and even redeem and restore, you know, things that we could never do in our own strength. So that there's like so encouraging in one way, but also feels heavy because like you're saying, you know, you were shaped by like deeply shaped by the pain in your relationship with your dad. And parenting is both such a huge blessing and also it's a big responsibility.
Yes.
To have this such a significant role in shaping a human soul, you know?
Yeah.
So I know, I guess, in this episode, I'll focus specifically on men, although I feel like it's also true of women. But, like, I know there are many men, even Christian men, who, you know, are really struggling as husbands and fathers or who wonder if they're failing in these roles. Based upon how God used your dad to shape you, what would you say to those men today?
Well, I think that men need to be getting regular input from others about how they're doing, you know, as a husband and father.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't call them blind spots for nothing. And my dad had a lot of blind spots, and I have a lot of blind spots. And so I think husbands and fathers need input, and they need the humility to really listen to the input and not just react or try to fix or whatever. I think for husbands and fathers, I hope today's podcast reminds you of the deep need you have for the grace of God to become the husband and father that you want to be and that God is wanting you to be, because you won't become that man just out of reaction to something. And you won't become that man just because you determine, I'm going to be a good husband, I'm going to be a good father. You will become that man as you're regularly running to the Lord God Almighty and to His Word for the strength, grace, help that you need, and to members of the Christian community that can encourage and strengthen you. So, like I said at the beginning, there's no perfect people and no perfect books. There's no perfect husbands. There's no perfect fathers. But all of us have the chance, all of us who are called by God to be husbands and fathers, to be men who bring honor and glory to God through the grace of God flowing through them as they learn to love and lead their wives and lay down their lives for their wives, and as they learn to love and lead their children. And you just don't want to miss that. It is too important to miss that.
Man, that's great, Dad. Thanks so much for sharing. I think like my takeaway today, you know, like we still have young kids. So I think it's both, I mean, praying for Adam as he leads our family. And then also, yeah, just kind of, I mean, even for me as a mom, like asking God for grace, getting like being willing to get input. I don't know. This is like a really, I don't know. Thanks so much for sharing. What do you want to wrap us up?
Well, I just want to wrap it up, I guess, by just thanking our listeners for being a part of this podcast. We really appreciate you and the time you spend every month listening to the podcast. I hope they're of encouragement to you. At Leadership Edge, we build, by God's grace, God-honoring leaders using what we call the life vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And if you'd like more information on how to live out that life vision statement or how to become a Christian mentor that prayerfully invests in the lives of next of God-honoring leaders, just let us know. Come to our website, and we have plenty of resources for you there.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.